The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, "La akulu muttaki'an." I don't eat reclining. And what does reclining mean? Some of the ulama say that reclining means like this, and the brothers can tell the shoulder sisters how to do it, like leaning on the back of their hands like this, which is also impermissible to do, impermissible meaning makruh, when you're not eating, while you're sitting in the masjid, to lean like this. Because this is the way the Jews used to lean, with their hand extended to the back of them like this. Alright? So some say that's the way that the Prophet was talking about. Some, no, with the right or left hand, leaning on the right palm or the left hand with your hand behind you. This is eating or not eating. While you're in the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't sit like this because the Jews sit like this. Some of the other scholars say that leaning means like we lean like this, with our elbow, or leaning on the wall and eating. Some of the other ulama say leaning means the way I'm sitting right now, on my back part, with my legs, my feet folded under each other. Like we call that Indian squat, I think they call it, right? This is what they call it. Sitting like an Indian, that's what they call it. It was a very stereotypical ethnic, racial slur, but that's what they call it. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit either iqa'an, meaning like what the people call a dog. And of course the Prophet alayhi wasallam didn't sit like a dog. But the way this brother is sitting like this right now, this is the way the Prophet used to sit, with his feet upright, like your feet are in sajda, him reclining on the back of his heels, or he used to shoot his left foot under his right foot and sit with his right foot sole flat on the floor and leaning towards the food to eat the food. This is the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat, and this is the way the fathers and mothers in the household should teach their children and their wives and their husbands, inshallah, how to eat. We're going to stop right here, and we're going to mention some other things that we wanted to say, inshallah, but we're going to save it for next week. We're going to stop right here and mention some of the foods and their nutritional value. These are foods that are mentioned in the Quran, and we don't have time to give you the verses or the hadiths. We just want to give you the nutritional value of these foods that are mentioned in Al-Quran and As-Sunnah. I don't think I have to tell you about garlic. We all know about garlic, and we're going to mention the hadith pertaining to garlic. Listen to the nutritional benefits of that piece of fruit called apples. Apples cures chronic enteritis. It's a bladder cleanser. It's an intestinal infection. Get rid of her, if you want to use that way. Inflammation of the colon. Apples helps inflammation of the colon. It helps diarrhea. It helps arthritis. It helps herpes and viruses. Acid stomach. It's excellent fiber. It aids in detoxifying metals. It protects against danger from x-rays and radiation therapy. Lowers blood cholesterol. Lowers blood pressure. It stabilizes blood sugar. And apples contain 84% pure water, carbohydrates, protein, minerals, vitamins A, B, and C. And they're also high in iron, potassium, and many nutrients. Apricots. Constipation. Cancer. Muscle and nerve. Important for the hypoglycemic. However, they should be consumed in moderation by diabetics. Bananas. Nerves. Alcoholism, hypertension, hemorrhoids, heart disorders, ulcers, diarrhea, potassium deficiency, high blood pressure, edema, intestinal disturbances, muscular system, feed the good bacteria in colon, excellent for children and infants, low in fat, good for reducing diets, good for convalescence because bananas are soft and high in needed nutrients, especially potassium and vitamin C. Let's go to some vegetables. Horseradish. Horseradishes benefits asthma, bronchitis, and lung disorders, lymphatic congestion, and digestive stimulant. It's a digestive stimulant. Horseradishes belongs to the mustard family. The root of the plant is used to flavor meats, seafood, and sauces. Fresh horseradish left in contact with the skin will cause blistering. Avoid contact with the eyes after getting it on the hands. Mustard greens. Mustard greens have the same nutrient content as other green leafy vegetables and should be included in the optimum diet. They contain high amounts of calcium, iron, vitamin A, and niacin. It is superior to spinach because of the lower oxalic acid content. Please excuse my my pronunciation of these words. So the benefit of the calcium content is not lost. Rutabaga. Rutabaga, and I must admit, rutabaga, I use rutabaga juice. In fact, all of these things I use in juice in my juice machine. Rutabaga clears up mucus and congestion, has an alkalizing effect on the body, and contains anti-cancer qualities. The rutabaga is a member of the turnip family, producing a large yellow root. Rutabagas should not be consumed by anyone who has kidney problems. They contain mustard oil and may cause gas in some people. Kohlrabi, and this is an Arabic word that's adopted from the English word that's adopted from Arabic. Kohlrabi, which is the word kohl and rabbi. This is good for indigestion, jaundice, diabetes, the lymph system, and alcoholism. The fresh juice of kohlrabi is used in China to stop nosebleeds. Kohlrabi seed powder is also used in China to improve urination after childbirth. People who, when they get older, after they're no longer a child, they grew up, and they still have problems wetting in the bed, you can go to Pathmark, buy kohlrabi, it's a vegetable right there in Pathmark, or ShopRite, and use it to control urinating after childbirth, and it's also used to improve eyesight. And this particular vegetable contains high amounts of vitamin C, calcium, and potassium. It is also a good source of fiber, and it tastes like a mild turnip. Kohlrabi. Kale. Kale. Kale is one of the best cancer-fighting vegetables we have on our planet. Unfortunately, we do not usually have it in our diets. Kale is the richest of all leafy greens vegetables. It has the most content of carotenoids. It is a powerful anti-cancer agent. Kale is rich in vitamin A, C, riboflavin, niacin, calcium, magnesium, iron, sulfur, sodium, potassium, phosphorus, and chlorophyll. This leafy green is excellent in protecting smokers against lung cancer once they stop smoking cigarettes. All members of this particular group of the vegetable kingdom protect against cancer of the stomach, esophagus, colon, oral, throat, and gastrointestinal cancer. Lower rates of cancer have been reported in the areas of the breast, bowel, bladder, and prostate because of kale. Kale's calcium is easily assimilated, making it a wonderful food for arthritis, osteoporosis, and bone loss disorders. And we have some others which we're not going to talk about. It's turnip, watercress, alfalfa, asparagus. Asparagus protects against cancer. It builds healthy capillaries. It builds red blood cells. It stimulates the kidney and liver function. Asparagus. And it's a potent diuretic. And it also builds up the immune system. And lastly, and once again, we'll come back and mention some others on the next class, I'd like to mention MSG, monosodium glutamate. Some brothers have heard me mention this in the past. We're also going to mention in some classes to come, inshallah, red dye 40, yellow dye, and blue dye, of which are used to rinse your hair and other things. This is in the sodas that you drink, and a lot of the candy bars that you eat, and foods that you eat in general. But as for monosodium glutamate, which is MSG, listen to this report. One form of MSG is autolyzed yeast. MSG has been known and implicated in damaging the central nervous system, the endocrine organ disorders, cardiac distress, and illness in other parts of the body. MSG, when they found out that it was no good, the manufacturers changed the name to hydrolyzed protein and natural flavor. Hydrolyzed protein is a natural flavoring from animal blood and other decaying protein sources. This substance is then subjected to acid hydrolysis, normally concentrated hydrochloric acid at temperatures from 200 to 220 degrees Fahrenheit for 4 to 6 hours. Sodium hydroxide, which is sold commercially as Drano, is then added to neutralize the solution. O you who believe, eat that from the earth, that which is halal and tayyib, and don't follow the footsteps of a shaitan, for surely he is for you an avowed open enemy. Beware of what you eat, brothers and sisters. The food and the drink has been sent down to worship Allah. That's the only reason for it. Don't eat when you're not hungry, and don't eat a lot. And make sure that what you eat is nutritious, so that you can stand up in front of your Lord on the day of resurrection, saying with no excuse that I worshipped you in a manner befitting you, O Lord, and I worshipped you to the best of my capacity. So inshallah, we'll take some questions if someone has some questions. Nothing from the sisters, inshallah. Yes. The brother's asking the question, what do you do when you're eating and something gets on your left hand, like some grease or some crumbs or something from the chicken or something like that? What do? You simply take it off with your right hand and lick your right hand. And Allah knows best. Anything else? Naam. Yeah, for those people of which we left out purposely, for those people who might say, but listen, those vegetables and fruits that you mentioned, they are being sprayed with those chemicals. What do we do about that? What we do about that is that we buy, if we can afford it, organically grown vegetables and fruits. We buy fruits and vegetables that are organic, which are not affected by those pesticides. And you'd be surprised today what is organic. Right now in my refrigerator, alhamdulillah, I have organic milk from organically raised cows. We're going to come to that, inshallah. About immunizations, we're going to talk about that, inshallah, when we get to the section on water. Because it's obvious to me, of 23 years of being a Muslim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, that the Muslims in America don't drink enough water. We use too much salt, too much sugar, and we drink not enough water. And alhamdulillah, now here, at least on the East Coast where we live, now you can not only drink spring water at a cheap price, or distilled water at a cheap price, you can now drink Zamzam, which is the best of waters. You can get it right now, right here in the New York, New Jersey area. I'd like to end this with one narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion Anas radiallahu anhu said, a khayyat, a tailor, invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to a meal which he had prepared. And I went along with the Prophet. That's Anas radiallahu anhu. He, the tailor, presented barley bread and soup containing pumpkin and dried sliced meat. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going after that pumpkin around the dish. In other words, everywhere the Prophet saw the pumpkin, he was going for it. So I always, after that time, have liked pumpkin. From that day on, Anna said, I like pumpkin. Listen to, that's the end of the hadith, and that hadith is collected by Bukhari and Muslim. Listen to the nutritional value of pumpkin. Pumpkin is rich in zinc, calcium, and B vitamins. And some doctors use the oil and the seeds of the pumpkin to treat something that is very predominant in men, especially black men, which is prostate cancer. Pumpkins are used to treat the prostate gland. And it's prostrate. We don't want the pumpkin. You don't want your glands prostrating. It's the prostate gland. Thank you. And it's also used to destroy parasitic worms in the intestinal tract. So, if you see me buying pumpkins in this month of October, I didn't buy them for Halloween. I bought them because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked them, Anas radiallahu anhu liked them, and they have good nutritional value. Yeah. Ooh, there's a long note here. Yeah, the brother Mustafa, jazahullah kulla khairan wa ahsan al-jazah, is mentioning that as he grew up, and as probably most of all of us grew up, we learned to wash our hands before we ate. And the reason why we didn't mention it tonight, we were going to mention it inshallah when we got to the water, inshallah, drinking the water and using the water to wash our hands, is because I don't know of one narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on washing the hands before you eat. I don't know of one. The only narrations I know of are washing your hands after you eat. But it's a good thing to do. But if someone doesn't do it, we shouldn't make a big issue about it. But if the person doesn't want them to eat from their food, this is their prerogative. They have the option of not allowing a Muslim to eat from their food because they don't wash their hands. But at the same time, we shouldn't say that that person is violating a principle of Islam, which is being clean. Because to say that he's violating a principle of Islam by not washing his hands when we don't have a narration of the Prophet or the Sahaba washing their hands would be to say that we're making a rectification and a correction on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we have to be careful of. That's a point that we have to keep in mind. Don't say that the person is being unclean. Just say, I don't want you eating. This is the way I grew up, and this is from my particular culture. I don't want you eating from my plate, and you haven't washed your hands. But we do have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where when we go to sleep at night, when we wake up, he says, wash your hands because you don't know where your hands have been. But this is not specifically pertaining to the eating of the food. This is just in general, because you don't know where your hands have spent the night. But if you take that hadith, we can extrapolate from that hadith qiyasan, using analogical deduction, which is permissible in Islam, to say it's good to wash the hands because you don't know where your hands have been in the daytime either. There's all kinds of filthy things that's going on. You see? You're more unlikely to know where they are while you're sleeping because you are not Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's aynahu used to be sleeping, but his heart was awake. He was the only one from among the creatures that his eyes slept, but his heart was wide awake. When you go to sleep, both of them are sleeping. So you don't know where your hands are. Now, you have an engine on your right hand, or you say you're injured on your right hand? I was going to say, if you have an engine on your right hand, you're going to be in bad shape trying to eat some food. You have to lift that engine up first. If you've injured your right hand, and you can't eat with that hand, then your left hand becomes your right hand. It's the same thing for istinja. And if you lose both your hands, then from qiyas, you're going to use your right foot. Right? Now, this is what we mentioned earlier. Yeah, you shoot the right foot. The right foot is, yes, right, the right. The left foot is up. That's what I think I made a mistake here. The left foot is on the floor, and the right foot. No, wait a minute. I was right, yeah? Yeah, it's the left foot. That's right. Because you have. Yeah. Yeah, it's the left foot like this. The left foot and the right foot is up like this. I said it right. I didn't make a mistake. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you can also sit like that. Like you sit in Salat. Yeah, you can also sit like that. Now, sitting on chairs, that better be that, Alec. No problem with that. No problem sitting on chairs. No problem eating at a dining room table. There's no problem with this. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being a slave, a real in the extreme sense of the word, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he was an abd and he ate the way abds eat. I'm a slave and I eat the way a slave eats, and I sit the way slaves sit. See? So now if you really want to be like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would not eat at a dining room or kitchen table. You eat on the floor. That's why he ate on the floor. Candlelight, Once again, that goes into love and romance. Nah. Candlelight. A candlelight dinner for two. It's permissible to have candlelight. Brothers, you brothers should romance your wives. You should have some. I'm telling you, whoever hears this tape, we're going to give you Mustafa's address so he can teach you how to have good love and romance by candlelight, inshallah. And with that, inshallah, we're going to end it. We're coming to that. Yeah, we were coming to that. We left those off purposely. Is there anything else? It's time for the adhan. Is there anything else before we call the adhan, inshallah? How do you hold the fingers? Eating with all five fingers is no problem. It's no problem eating with five fingers, nor is it a problem eating with a spoon or a fork. It's no problem. Using both hands to grab the food, no problem. There's no problem. There's no problem with holding it with the left hand. There's no problem with breaking it with the right and the left hand together. But one thing we want to mention, and we want to save that until later, but we'll mention it now, inshallah, and then because the brother's waiting for us to call the adhan, because it's 8:25. And that is, you see some brothers, when they drink, when their hands are greasy from the using their hands to eat, they hold the glass with their left hand and put their right, the top of the back of their right hand under the glass. So they drink like this, you know. They have the glass in their left hand, and they have their right hand under the bottom of the glass. This is not permissible, brothers and sisters. No, they have their right hand. They're drinking with their left hand, and they have their right hand, the back of their wrist, on the bottom of the glass, as though they're trying to, like they're supposed to be drinking with their right hand. Right? So I always tell them, just move your left hand. Move your left hand. Right? And it'll drop to the floor to prove that you're not drinking with your left hand. And they do this, they leave off a halal act to do a haram act. It's halal to get the glass greasy. There's nothing wrong with getting grease and rice and stuff, curry chicken on the glass. It's halal. All you gotta do is wash the glass. But it's haram to drink with the left hand. You see how shaitan is? You see how he tricks people? It's a trick from shaitan. Don't get the glass dirty. Drink it with your left hand. The sister sent down a note about the verse 61 from chapter 41. Excuse me, chapter 24 from Surah Nur. But this is not the chapter, this is not the verse we were talking about, sister. Inshallah, the verse is talking about eating with eating together or eating separately. Oh, wait a minute. No, this is not it. No, this is not it. So inshallah, we'll have the adhan call now. Oh, yes, this is it. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right, sister. I kept reading. It is verse 20, verse 61. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَأْكُلُوا جَمِيعًا أَوْ أَشْتَاتًا. Yes. There's no blame on you. You're right, sister. Jazakillah khairan. There's no blame on you if you eat together or separately. But then there's a hadith that says, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Eat and drink together or eat together and don't become divided, because eating together there's barakah. And Allah knows best. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.